Brother Jose Valley. All right, so all children, third grade and under, we're going to go downstairs for Children's Night Church with Jose Valley, our preacher for tonight. Amen and amen. All right. Very good. Wonderful, wonderful. We'll save the announcements till the end. All right, amen. Helping with the baby, that's good. Amen, good. All right, everybody getting in place. Very good. I remember my father-in-law's funeral down in Florida, West Palm Beach, Florida. I remember the service, and then we had the funeral dinner, the gravesite. And I remember coming home and being at home with family, you know how it is. And we were all sitting around and comforting each other and missing the dad. And I remember my mother-in-law turned her phone on and the answer phone started spitting out messages. And she had it on speaker, so we were all listening to it. We were all together as family. You know how that is. And there were these different messages coming across her phone, and then all of a sudden, my father-in-law, her husband, spoke from the grave, as it were, because he had sent a message to her that she didn't hear just before he passed. When he was in the hospital, he called her. He was the kind of guy that whistled at his wife every time he saw her, you know, and he would fill the gas in her tank. She never had to lift the gas to the car. He always took care of that. He was always lifting her up. And I saw her when she heard that message from the grave, as it were, of my father-in-law, and she just wanted to hear it again, and then again, and then again, and just again. She was clinging to that message. And I think of that in the scripture for tonight. I'd like you to turn to John chapter 20, and that was our New Testament reading today, so it is right with us. And I like it when I preach something that we've been reading. And the Lord's disciples had just experienced the death of the Lord, the bridegroom. Remember, he talked about the bridegroom, and he said, when the bridegroom is gone, what will the disciples of the Lord do? They'll fast, you know, they'll miss him. And just like my mother-in-law missed my father-in-law, even more, they were missing the Lord. And Mary Magdalene loved the Lord. I went to Israel and saw the town of Magdala. And then I understood it better. Mary Magdalene, Mary of Magdala. And it was right there on Lake Kinneret, which is the Sea of Galilee. And we drove around it and I saw it. And there was a big sign, Magdala, a little village. That's where Mary was from. And she loved the Lord. He'd cast devils out of her. And she was the dirty toy of many men, and he cleansed her. And she had gone to the tomb that morning, Sunday morning, early, to anoint his body with sweet spices. Another Mary was there, not the mother, but another Mary and Salome and so forth. And they were worried that, what are they going to do? How are they going to roll back the stone to get the spices to the Lord's body? But when they got there, the stone was already rolled away. And in John's gospel, it talks about Mary Magdalene. When she saw that the stone was rolled away, she perceived somebody moved his body, because they didn't yet grasp the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And so she ran back to Peter and John and told them about the stone being rolled away. And of course, they ran to the tomb. Now, John was younger and he outran Peter, but Peter was bolder. So John stood there when he got to the tomb, but Peter went right in. And when he went into the tomb, he saw that the grave clothes were off. And the top of the wrap of the head was put separately. And Marv Rosenthal taught on this, and I don't remember everything he said, but basically John recognized that after a Passover dinner, the way that was done, It meant to him Jesus had risen from the dead and not been stolen. And the Bible says right here in John chapter 20 that that John believed at that point. And, you know, Mary, though, John and Peter went back home, but Mary, she didn't go back home. She clung to the Lord, like my mother-in-law clinging to that phone. She wanted to cling to the gravesite. She wanted to see the body of the Lord so she could cleave to that body. And here's what she said to Peter earlier. She said, and to John, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they laid him. I remember a lady complaining to me about some spiritual leaders in her life. And she used that verse. She said, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they laid him. I remember somebody said to me one time, there are three rules of real estate: location, location, location. And there are three rules of preaching: preach Christ, preach Christ, preach Christ. I don't know where they've laid him. And Mary needed to cling to him. Even though she didn't yet understand the resurrection, she wanted to cling to something of the Lord there, his body. And I want to say the fact that whenever you feel distance from your risen Lord, I believe you feel troubled if you're a saved person. I believe you feel anxious. I believe that you feel sad when you don't sense his presence. And here in John chapter 20, I believe we're reminded that your Savior is not like a dead loved one. You don't have to cling just to a recording or something, or touch some physical thing like the Catholics do. You know, they have these little relics. No. The Lord is alive. He's risen. And he's not absent. He sent one just like him to be in us and with us. He's real tonight. He's real, and you need to recognize that tonight. And so the sermon tonight is the living Lord and you. And I want to say three things about that tonight. Number one, the living Lord gives you his personal presence. In John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, we see this playing out. But notice in John chapter 20, 1 and 2, it says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, and it was yet dark unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they laid him. You see, she clung to the Lord. She loved the Lord. Oh, she missed him. She missed his presence. She missed his teaching. She missed his miracles and his loving works. And she just wanted to be around him. And when his body was gone, she was so disappointed. And Peter and John, they went there. But you notice here in verse 8. Notice in verse 8 of John chapter 20. I'll read. It says there, then went in also the other disciple which came first to the sepulcher. He saw and believed. That's John. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So John, it first dawned on him, he's alive. And then in verse number 10, it says, then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Now notice that the disciples went away to their own home. But look at verse 11. But Mary, notice the but there, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Now, what does that tell you? Mary didn't know he was risen from the dead, did she? No, she didn't. But she clung to him. She wanted to be close to Jesus as she could. And so she sought his body. Now, perhaps some of you tonight have failed to sense the presence of the Lord Jesus in your life. You sang the song, He Walks With Me and Talks With Me. along life's narrow way. But you really haven't felt his presence along life's narrow way. Thank God you believed it, but you haven't really sensed his presence. And really, a lot of the Christian life has become more transactional to you, more horizontal to you than relational to you with the living Lord Jesus. And I want you to know tonight that the Lord Jesus doesn't want you to just settle for relics. No, not at all. He doesn't want you to settle for pictures of him on the cross. No, not at all. He doesn't want you to just settle for being with other believers. And that's great, you're with other believers. He wants you to know he's alive. He's watching you. He's with you. He's in you, my friend. He's here tonight, spiritually speaking. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he, Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, is always near. I know that by experience. And you do too. If you're a believer, you know it by experience. And so you cannot settle just for relics. You cannot just settle for horizontal transactional relationships. You need his presence. You need it to comfort you. You need it to cheer you. You need it to strengthen you. You need his presence, and I need that too. And when you fail to see him in that way, you become very anxious. You have anxious thoughts. You may have nighttime torments. You become troubled by a lot of things in your life. Perhaps you failing to see his hand of providence as it is in the book of Esther in your life as he leads, guides, and provides. You see, it's not just his blessings that we need to see. It's from the blesser. That's why, Dorothy, I said, above Brendan Steve is the blesser. Jesus. That's who we need to see. That's who we need to praise. That's who we need to seek. Mary wanted that, my friends, and she would not be disappointed. And do you want that tonight? You will not be disappointed. Ask and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and you'll find the presence of Jesus. The risen Jesus. Not just the husks, you see. Not just the doctrines about Jesus. Like a wax museum. But the living one. And that's who we can rejoice in tonight. And I'm saying that further you can not only become worried and fearful, but further, you can become wearied with the duties of the Christian life and feel like you can't deal with life's challenges anymore without him. That you want to withdraw. That you want to take wings and fly away like a dove because you're tired of it all. And perhaps you feel like Mary Magdalene tonight, a void in your heart. That nothing or no one else can fill. Well, that's the way Mary was. And so what happened? Notice how the Lord made himself known. Look at verse 12 and 13. It says there, and seeth, Mary, that is, seeth, two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of the Lord lay. I like that. She saw these angels at the in the tomb. You know why she saw the angels? Peter and John went home, but she saw the angels, and she was the first one to see the risen Lord, Mary Magdalene. And you know why that was? She sought his presence. She missed him. Do you miss him? Do you miss his presence? Oh, he wants to show himself to those that really need him. By the way, I'm telling you tonight, I need him. He said, without me, you can do nothing. And I don't want to go up in this pulpit without his presence. I don't want to serve as senior pastor of this church without his presence. I don't want to do it, my friend. I can't do it. I cannot do it. It's beyond. It always was beyond me. It always was more. But listen, it's not beyond him. And his presence is what we need. And so Mary, you see, sought his presence. And God gave her that encouragement of angels. She was talking to angels. You know what? I wonder if it dawned on her yet. I don't think it dawned on her still that he was risen. It didn't get through her head. It didn't get into her heart. And I know that from the next verse, verse 13, but we won't get into that yet. You know who she reminds me of here? And perhaps you're like Mary tonight, Mary Magdalene. You love the Lord, but you miss him, and you don't have a sense of his presence, and you're worried and anxious and fearful and tired and empty and all the rest of it. And I think about Jacob. You know, Joseph is a type of Jesus, and it says, and Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Genesis 45:26. Who were they talking about? It was the sons of Jacob, the sons of Israel. They'd come back from Egypt, and they said, your son is alive, Jacob, and he's the ruler over all Egypt, Jacob. He's alive. And Jacob, it says, he fainted. He did not believe their words. How sad that is. I think of the Jewish people. You know, they don't know their Messiah is alive. They don't know their Messiah is coming again. They're still looking for him. They are blinded to him. What a sad thing that is. And Jacob had that blindness. And here his own sons were telling him, Joseph is alive. He's the ruler over all Egypt. And you know what? It's interesting. Egypt's a type of the world. And Jesus is the ruler over the world. And he is being accepted by many non-Jews. And the Jews, he's in Egyptian garb. He's called Jesus. They don't recognize that. But he's alive. He's their Messiah. And that's for the Jewish people. I realize that. But how about you? You, as a disciple, you're seeking his presence in your life. But you're distraught, you're worried, you're weary, because you, like Mary Magdalene, actually doubt the presence and power of the living Lord in your life. You kind of get glazed over. You kind of are living horizontally at times and not seeing him. And not really praying to him. And I feel sorry when you're in that state. Anybody that's in that state, because that's no way to live. It's a tough way to live. And tonight, I'm talking about the risen living Lord and you. And what he wants to do for you. He wants to give you his presence. Did you hear me? You know, I went to visit Christine's brother. Christine Keller's brother, Floyd Dutter. And I saw him in the hospital. And when I came into the room, Floyd just lit up like a Christmas tree. He was so happy to see me. Sometimes pastors don't realize the importance of just visiting somebody in the hospital. Or when somebody loses a loved one who's not lost, he's in heaven, but you miss him. And you want to have a pastor be around there. His presence. There's something about a man of God that is important at a time like that. His presence. And I'm saying that's what I need in my life. I need the presence of the risen living Lord Jesus in my life. I need to recognize that his hand's at work. Oh, I see it. It's Jesus. It's Jesus that's doing it. You know, the Jews are being blessed of the Lord in Israel all up one side and down the other. I was there. He's blessing their fruit. He's blessing their country. He's blessing, but they don't recognize it. He's like Joseph was to the brothers before they recognized him. They see him in Egyptian garb. He's blessing them. He's giving them meals. They don't recognize him. Oh, my friend, don't you see the Lord tonight? he's reaching out to you. And the Bible says Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And it seems like Mary, she had the angels telling her good things, but she wasn't accepting it. Now, that doesn't mean she wasn't a believer. It just means at that point, she wasn't operating in faith. And it says about Jacob, and they, that is his sons, told him, Jacob, all the words of Joseph, all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when, now get this, and when he, Jacob, saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. You see, he saw the wagons sent from Egypt, and he said, that's just like Joseph. That's my son. That is Joseph. He's alive. Look at these wagons. He sent these wagons. And boy, when you can see the Lord does something in your life to show you he's alive and to encourage you that he's alive and to encourage you that he's real, you know what happens in your life when the risen Joseph convinces you, your heavenly Joseph, that he is there and involved in your life, your spirit gets what? Revived. Hey, that's a form of revival. We pray for revival. Revival, my friend, is to recognize the manifest presence of Jesus as you go through your life, as you go through your work, as your day by day, you realize he's alive. Now, how did that work out with Mary Magdalene? Because that's what she needed. Well, look how she got revived. Go to verse 14 through 16. I'll begin reading in John 20. It says, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. Wow, there he is. Uh-oh, and knew not that it was Jesus. You know, some of you, you're looking right at Jesus and you don't even know you're seeing him. Some of you, he's right there and you're still grieving and sad and down in the mouth and worried and tired, and you don't even see him. I would to God tonight you'd see him in this service. I would to God tonight that you knew he brought you here, not to see this ugly face, but to see Jesus. Jesus. And Mary was looking, but it says she knew not that it was Jesus. And then the next verse, Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And what did she say? She says, he's the gardener. In her heart, she's thinking, he's the gardener here in this garden. And I think I went to the garden tomb, if that was the garden tomb. It's a beautiful place. It really is. And she thought he was the gardener and said to him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. In other words, I just want his body. Give me a relic. Maybe you feel like that. Just give me something. He gave her more than that. He said to her in verse 16, Mary. Just the word Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. I mean to say, all he said was her name. Do you know he knows your name tonight? He's written it down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Like Mary, your faith may falter, and you may not see him as you ought, but he sees you. And he's chosen to give you grace. And he is speaking to your heart, and he knows your name, and he knows all about you, and he loves you. And Mary recognized his love at that point. It dawned on her. And boy, that is revival, when you recognize his love. And the Holy Spirit can help you with that. Amen. And God can use certain things to show you his love. And Mary saw it, and what did she do? She went to grab him. And what did it say in verse 17? He said, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Well, of course, he is the eternal Son. So he's the unique eternal Son. And he's the virgin-born Son. We're sons of God. But he draws a distinction there. But he says, don't touch me. You know why he said, don't touch me, don't you? Because he had to get his blood, Hebrews says, Hebrews 9, and bring it up and drop it on the mercy seat in heaven itself, as the high priest had to do after he offered it at the altar. The altar was Calvary. The mercy seat was in the third heaven. Can you imagine how many billions of light years away the third heaven is? But he got there. He got there that morning with his blood, and then he was back in a couple hours to meet with the disciples on the Emmaus Road. Wow, that is amazing how he can travel in his resurrection body. What a great thing that is. But I'm saying to you, even better than that, he gives you his personal presence by leaving you with his word. He's called the Word of God. And by leaving you his Spirit. And his Spirit is with every disciple wherever they are, in the Philippines, in China, in India, in Africa, in America, wherever they are, his Spirit is there. And he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And so when we come to church, we should be seeking his personal presence. Boy, I want that. You want that. And I'm saying tonight, your living Lord, number one, gives you his personal presence. Sometimes the clouds hide him. I know you can relate to this. How many of you enjoyed the sun today? Oh, man. It was wonderful. Bobby, think about working outside in the winter compared to that. What a contrast. And yet we do have those kind of days in our life with the Lord, where the clouds come between us and the sun, and we don't feel the warmth, we don't see the sun, and it's cold, and yet we slog along, don't we? We must slog along. But oh, it's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like his great love. It's because of his love, you see, that he gives you his personal presence and a sense of his presence. And number two, I want to say a second thing that he gives you, and it's in verse 19 and 20, and I'm going to read that, a second thing that he gives you, the risen living Lord. It says in verse 19, then the same day at even, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. I'm so glad we have evening services. Amen. This was Sunday and they had Jesus in the morning, but they had Jesus in the evening because he appeared to Mary and then to Peter and in the morning as well. But then he appeared to the Emmaus disciples and they had morning, noon, and night. But peace be unto you, he said. You know what? When I know Jesus is near, I'm at peace. I remember when I was a little kid, freaked out at night, scared to death. I was just a little boy, very little, very little. And I remember I was scared to death, and I ran to my parents' room. And I jumped between my dad and mom, who were in bed, and I felt so at peace, like nothing can harm me, that I am in the safest place in the world. That's how I feel with Jesus. When I see him, when I feel his presence. I mean, I like going to a conference and hearing great preachers. But I'll tell you what, I'll take just the local church when Jesus shows up. He'll make it better than anything. And he will give you a peace that is so wonderful that it passes understanding. And even though you may have problems in your life, he'll give you that peace because he's saying, look, I conquered your greatest enemy. What's our greatest enemy? Death. He took the teeth out of the lion of death. He defanged it. And he cleaned the grave out. made it a pleasant place for the body to wait for the resurrection. I'm saying he'll never leave you, forsake you. At death, he'll send angels to bring you to heaven. I know the devil will lie, but Jesus can be trusted. He said right in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many," not like the modern translations say, "rooms." Oh, hang that garbage. "In my Father's house are many mansions." Amen. When I found that out, I used to look at these big, beautiful houses, and I thought, boy, it'd be nice to have. I never feel like that now. Good. I think, God, thank God. Many mansions. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And that is what he wants you to know tonight and be assured. Well, you say, how can I know that, Pastor? Don't you know why this book was written, John? I feel led to just give you this now. It's not in my notes, but go to verse 30 of John's Gospel. It says there in verse 30, after Thomas said, "I'm not going to believe unless I touch him." You know, some of you feel like, "I'm not going to believe that I'm saved and going to heaven unless I have some kind of sign, unless I have something happen that happened to somebody." But actually, what it says here, that it said that Thomas didn't believe, and Jesus said, "Blessed are they that have not seen or felt a touch and yet believe." And it says in verse 30, "And many other signs that are miracles that point to Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples," which are not written in this book, but here it is, "but these are written." Written. Don't miss that. Written. "That ye," that's you plural, "might believe that Jesus is the Christ." Do you believe Jesus is the Messiah based on the writing? "The Son of God." That is, that he is God who came in the flesh, showed his love by dying on that cross for the sins of the world, being buried and risen again. He says, "And that believing ye might have life through his name." If you're a believer, you have life. "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not Son hath life." If you're a believer, you have life. And so he gives you that peace. That peace based on his promise. And based on the fact he cannot lie. He will not lie. You have him over a barrel. Don't get so much into the sovereignty of God that you got to wait on God to do something. Just put your faith in Jesus. Just put your faith in Jesus. It's all right. He's not going to break his word. Right. He's not going to lie to you. Don't worry about some sovereign thing he's got to do. Just do it. And he gives you peace. And not only that, but look at verse 20. It says, "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." He gave them sight of it. So that we can be glad without sight. So that we can have peace without sight. You say, how? By faith in his word. Just trust his word. Act on his word. And it's so wonderful. And so he will give you his peace and his joy. The Bible says that we're filled with joy and peace in what? We're filled with joy and peace. One of the guys tell me, in what? In believing. In believing. You know what that is? Understanding, agreeing, and then trusting what he has done for you. And so I'm saying the living, risen Lord gives you his personal presence. He gives you peace and joy. Then were the disciples glad. I've been sad. I've been tired. I've been forsaken. I've been weary. I've been all of the above. But then I've gotten back to believing and seeing the providential hand of the Lord and recognizing the Lord. And guess what? I have peace. I have joy. Oh, it's great. One more thing that I'll end with here that he gives you. Let me say something I want to say about giving you peace and joy in believing. Let me go there a little bit more on that. You remember the Song of Solomon? The Song of Solomon is a love story between Solomon and the one love of his life, and his princess. And the bride was so in love back with him that here's what it says in chapter 5. She's having a dream. And in her dream, her bridegroom has left her. And she's looking for him, and he even comes to the door of where she was and leaves his cologne there. I gave my mother a kiss before I came tonight. She said, "That perfume is good. It smells good." Well, he had on that cologne, you know, and where did he get it? Out of the ivory palaces, you know, the bridegroom, but in this case, Solomon. And in the dream, he comes to the door and she gets up out of bed, but she's late and he withdraws from her. And she is so sad. And you know what? I believe sometimes the Lord wants us to have his fellowship, but we do other things and we delay, we're slow like the bride to move to him, and we miss out. We miss out on that intimacy. And he withdraws. And she had a dream about this. And here's what she says. "I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him." Kind of like my mother-in-law listening to those messages. "I called him, but he gave me no answer." Listen, there are such a thing as apparent desertions in your life. He never leaves you or forsakes you, but he will apparently desert you sometime. You say, why does he do it? Maybe neglect to respond to the promptings of his Holy Spirit to have communion with him. And he withdraws. So he wants you to miss him. He wants you not to be satisfied just with horizontal transactional service. He wants that. And so he wants you to seek that communion with him where you come to the garden and he walks with you and talks with you. And so you have that. Sometimes he does it just to test your faith. And he said that about the woman that would not take no for an answer. She finally said, even the dogs, when he insulted her, he said, even the dogs. Listen, don't let any sovereignty of God, well, I'm not part of the elect nation. I'm not one of the elect. I'm not part of Israel, so I can't. That woman didn't say that. She was a Syrophoenician. She wasn't in Israel. He called her a dog. She said, even the dogs eat from... I bet Oreo does that. Even the dogs eat from what's under the master's table. She agreed with him, but she said, and he said, wait a minute, hold the phone, Joan, stop. Jesus said, stop right here. I've not seen faith like this. This is awesome faith. This is great faith. Sometimes he'll withdraw for days, weeks, months, years to test a person's faith. You just trust him. Trust his word. What he says. He backs his word. He's as good as his word. He's exalted his word above his name. You can trust it. And so, apparent desertions. We have them in our life. Sometimes it's unconfessed sin. Yes, he'll withdraw. But the watchman, it says in chapter 5, verse 7, the next verse, the bride, in her dream, she said, "The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me." You know who the keepers of the walls are for us, religious leaders in the church? And sometimes they cannot help us at all with our spiritual needs. I know Bobby. When Bobby met the Lord after being in a coma and coming out of that coma, and then having a soul winner give him the words. I believe he'd already had the touch. And he came out and he went to a Catholic priest because you knew him. And was he helpful? Not at all. So then he remembered Pastor Randy Bloom and he came here. You see, many times watchmen or religious leaders, if they don't know about these things, they cannot help you. They cannot help you with the, like the old Puritans could, like that Dutch Puritan that Mindy knows about. We can relate, Mindy, the Dutch. Great Dutch Puritan. What's his name? I forgot. You'll talk later. She's quiet. And rightfully so. That Dutch Puritan. But he helps us. She has books by this guy. I've read stuff just with soteriology and the deep things of it. We need that kind of preachers today and pastors today who can help us. Jesse Kresge said, "Oh man, I'm going to miss the message. What is it tonight? Is it a political message like Sunday night?" I said, "Jesse, you can get that on a recording." I said, "It's very spiritual tonight." Very spiritual. We need that. Have you been feeling sad? Well, your Lord can give you a glad for your sad. He can really lift you. I'm not talking about faking it. I'm not talking about smile. Though your heart is breaking, smile. Though your life is aching, whatever. No. Now, I'm not talking about that. We may do that. Put on that smile, you know. My smile is real tonight. It's real. It's the living Lord. He's given me peace. He's given me gladness, but I've been sad. I've been weary. I've been anxious. I've been all of the above. Finally, and lastly, he gives you his purpose. Look at verse 21. His presence, his peace, and his purpose. Look at verse 21 of John chapter 20. It says, "Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Even as my Father sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." And of course, the Catholics take this and say apostolic succession. That went to the popes and they can remit sin. But that's not what was happening here. He was saying to them and to us that through giving the gospel, we can offer people the forgiveness of sins. I did it today. I talked to a lady named Riley, and boy, she seemed icy. She was a bill collector, and all she wanted to do was collect a bill. I got over 8 credit, 8.5. I don't know what it is. I told her that. But I said, "I didn't see this bill, but I paid the bill right over the phone. Insurance bill for a procedure my wife had. Paid it." Anyway, it was her job to collect the bill. She kept asking, and I thought, boy, this is going to be a hard one to lead her to the Lord. She's tough. But I said, "Lord, help me out here." And I said, "If she says to me, is there anything else I can help you with, I will ask her the 2 questions," because that's what I was waiting for. And she goes, "Is there anything else, Ed?" And I asked her the 2 questions. And I'm telling you, she softened up. She said, "Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. I need this." Basically, she was like, she prayed to receive. She said, "I'm praying to receive Christ." I'm saying, I've had 76 people this year so far from January that have trusted the Lord or professed to trust the Lord. God knows the heart. But I thank God for the purpose. He's saying, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I used to think, well, maybe he gave them a temporary indwelling of the Holy Spirit until Pentecost. But no, it says the Spirit was not yet given until Pentecost, until Jesus was glorified. You can see it in John 16 and other places. It was very clear. He didn't send the Holy Spirit till he ascended to the Father. So I believe this was just a prophecy. When he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, there's a prophecy of Pentecost. And it was also their purpose after Pentecost. They were to witness. You know what? It's hard to witness when I don't feel his presence. I do it anyway, though, out of obedience. But oh, it's wonderful when we feel his presence and his power working through us. But sometimes you don't feel it. I remember Jack Hiles said, preach the sermon. Don't lose your thought. Just preach the outline when you feel like you're all alone in the pulpit. and God will still bless. And he does. But I'm saying he gives you more than that. He often will give you his presence in this life. He will give you his joy and peace in believing. And he will give you his purpose that you, not angels, not the unsaved world, not Catholic priests, you, the people of God, like Tom Lydon and Diane Payone and bus captains and so on, Thursday night, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, see ya. Saturday, 11:30 to 12, see ya. And throughout the week, you have the opportunity to lead people to the Lord. And it's real. Sometimes we treat soul winning horizontally. No, it's real. And the Lord is involved in it. Thank God. He gives us his presence, his peace and joy, and his purpose and his power to fulfill it. Let's bow for prayer tonight. How about you tonight? Have you been lacking in joy and peace? Have you been lacking in a sense of his presence? And have you been lacking in your purpose? Oh, he wants to restore that to you tonight.